Hello, somebody. This is Nina Turner, and I want to tell you about Power Hour with yours truly, Nina Turner, the new weekly program I'm hosting for TYT. Every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, I'll be bringing the heat for an hour filled with power. We'll speak truth to power, we'll talk about how to fight the power, and we'll plan how to leverage the power that we the people have. This show is for TYT members only, but for a limited time, we'll be making the first half an hour available to everyone, then the second half an hour just for members. For access to the full show, be sure to sign up for TYT membership at tyt.com/join today.
Power, power, power hour with Nina Turner. How you doing, Nina?
Good, I'm all right, Jane. Battling this cold still, but I think I'm on the winning end now.
Well, it's amazing.
How are you?
That is the longest cold in American history. Okay, the cold told you there's gonna be a little bit of blood on the floors. So you're in the same mind.
That's it.
Giving you some of your own medicine, if you will.
Yes. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. I'm good. You got anything for New Year's Eve? I remember when I was younger, Nina. Oh my God, I was so excited about New Year's Eve, and we were gonna go party. We were gonna go drink. Now I'm like, oh, mom's making turkey.
Priorities change as we become more seasoned, you know. Yeah. No, I just want to hug my son and hug my grandbabies and just kind of count my blessings.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong, guys, I'm not Mike Pence. I'm not referring to my wife as mom. No, my mom lives in LA and she's thinking of coming over with turkey.
Okay. I thought you meant your real mom.
Okay. I don't want anybody to confuse you with Mike Pence. You know, then Republicans will want to hang.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to say the most random thing because I've been dying to say it for quite some time, and I'll probably say it 1,000 more times in the stories. But imagine—I mean, Brett and I were talking in the last hour about how, like, we've gotten everything that's crazy has become considered normal now, right? And it feels a little like 1930s Germany. And I was talking about the Museum of Tolerance and how everybody start to accept things as, oh, that outrageous thing is also now normal, right? They said hang Mike Pence as they broke into the Capitol. And then Trump didn't mind, never apologized to Pence, and everybody just accepts it as perfectly normal now. Could you imagine if Barack Obama's supporters and fans wanted to murder Joe Biden while they were in office?
Yeah, no, it's outrageous. And even, like you said, even to this moment, and even Vice President Pence was mum on it. Are you kidding me? I would be shouting from the rooftops at this president that I put my body on the line for, and he did many times on many occasions. Just thought it was okay if his supporters just come in and kill me.
That's unbelievable. It's guys, do not get used to it. It's unbelievable. All right. But let's get on with this particular show. So, Nina, what do you have for story of the week?
Well, our story of the week has to do with the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, and their owner donors. I'm sorry to say that I got to attach the owner donors to them as well. So cases are on the rise again, and the US daily record has been broken. The 7-day average of US cases topped 267,000 on Tuesday. So earlier this week, the CDC decided there's nothing really wrong and not anything really matters anymore. And so let's look at what the Associated Press, how they informed us about what they had to say. So US health officials on Monday cut isolation restrictions for asymptomatic Americans who catch the coronavirus from 10 days to 5 days. And similarly, shortened the time that close contacts need to quarantine. And that's from the Associated Press. And another nugget here, as we get into this, last week, the agency loosened rules that previously called on healthcare workers to stay out of work from 10 days if they test positive. The new recommendation said workers could go back to work after 7 days if they test negative and don't have symptoms. And the agency said isolation time could be cut to 5 days or fewer if there are severe staffing shortages. Again, we're getting this information from the Associated Press. So we're really back where we were in the beginning of the year, coming out of the holidays. And Jing, isn't it quite interesting that if staffing levels are low, we can just change the rules at will?
Yeah. So I saw a mainstream media reporter on Twitter say that, saying that corporations wanted to cut and then the CDC responded to that was a conspiracy theory like the right wing. Are you like, they're amazing to me that they will justify almost anything, and they think, multi-billion dollar corporations that give millions of dollars of money to politicians influencing politics in America is a conspiracy theory.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I mean, we have a graph, we could put the graphic up that shows the increases in where we are right now, which should definitely alarm all of us. And the last record was set on January the 11th when the 7 day average was 251,232. So where could this be coming from, Jing?
Yeah, and just not only that, so I wanna come back to that graphic in a second too, but I wanna show the next quote here. CEO of, and this is from CNBC of all places, CEO of Delta, Ed Bastian, wrote to CDC Director Rochelle Walensky proposing a 5 day recommended quarantine period for fully vaccinated individuals who contract COVID. The existing recommendations call for a 10 day period of isolation. I wonder where the CDC got the suggestion. Oh, right, CNBC told us where they got the suggestion. And so that conspiracy seems to be fairly out in the open. And Nina, there's a really important part of this. And a lot of the experts are saying, look, if you said 5 days, but you can come back if you have a negative test, okay, then we can live with it. It should be 10 days, but at least you got a negative test, so that means you're less likely to be shedding and spread the disease, right? Because that's the thing that we care about. But this doesn't even have a requirement for a negative test. So hey, you had COVID for the last 5 days. We don't even know if you still have it or not, and you think you're good enough, back to the mines.
Yeah, and the fact that as a matter of public policy, we don't have paid family and medical leave further exacerbates this horrible situation. And how about a little Medicare for all right about now? And Jake, I know we don't have necessarily have, but the nurses have really been standing strong, railing against the CDC. So have other medical professionals, but I definitely got to shout out the National Nurses United. And there's one tweet that they put out recently, because now the CDC has this fancy ad, Jake, and I wish we had the graphic for it. I just discovered it, but it has a worker with a mask on, and the caption says, "I'm not letting COVID take my shift." I mean, that is some total BS, and the nurses are calling out. And this is an ad from the CDC. They're further trying to propagate this nonsense, them answering to their own donors and not answering to the medical community. But the leader of the National Nurses United, Bonnie Castillo, said, "Ever heard of sick leave? How about taking responsibility for protecting workers?" And then she levels this at the CDC. "Stop running ads trying to convince workers and the public that we're expendable. Start doing your job to protect us all." Now, Jake, you know when the nurses jump in the fray, something is wrong.
Don't let COVID take my shift?
Don't let COVID take my shift. Jake, I if you go to National Nurses United Twitter stream, you will see it. They have a lady with her arms folded and she's double masked. And she's saying, I'm not letting COVID-19 take my shift.
No, but they're nurses. If they have COVID, going to a hospital filled with sick people is the single worst idea in human history.
It is. And the fact that the medical community in particular, in the CDC's guidance, they were especially talking about people who work in the medical field. If there are shortages, they can come back sooner. If there are severe shortages, think about that. So it really is very revealing why they are doing what they are doing. And again, it all goes back to having a lack of care and concern for working class people in this country. The essential workers don't matter. We got to push them back to work. And it doesn't matter how many people they affect. So whether they're infect, whether they're on the airplane or whether they're in the hospital, if we need them, we're going to herd them back in.
I need people to understand the CDC is not the Chamber of Commerce. They're Center for Disease Control. They're supposed to.
Or they're not supposed to be.
Right. They're supposed to protect us. And they're saying, hey, you got COVID as a nurse, drive them back to work. Don't worry, just go back into the hospitals. Who cares that you got COVID? Are you insane? And that's the CDC saying that? Nah, it's. And remember, guys, this isn't under Trump, this is under Biden.
That's right.
Owner donors are going to owner donor. They don't care if you're a corporate Republican or a corporate Democrat. And Nina, people got to get this right. There are some independent politicians, and they are literally independent. They don't take corporate PAC money. And by the way, that's got upsides and downsides. One of the downsides is that some of the right wingers, like Matt Gaetz, doesn't take corporate PAC money. And then he says, well, since I don't have to, I got no brakes in the car, I'll say crazy right wing stuff, right? But it's a form of independence. But the great majority, the overwhelming majority of those politicians, they don't actually have any power. They're just waiting around for orders. And when their owner donors give them the orders, apparently they'll do anything.
They will, and it's another reason why we absolutely need campaign finance reform in this country. You have talked about that over the years ad nauseum. There are so many people and organizations fighting to make sure that we can overturn Citizens United. But everything that we care about, Jink, whether it's dealing with climate chaos, dealing with paid family medical leave, dealing with voting rights, I mean, just fill in the blank. All roads lead back to the fact that in this country, it is absolutely legal to bribe politicians.
It's amazing. All right, so I want to go back to that graphic for one last time, because the one of the chart of all the COVID cases. Because guys, so this is not the peak of the last couple of months. This is the peak of the entire pandemic. So there's now more cases than there has ever been. But that chart doesn't begin to describe what's going to happen next, because that line is going to continue to go up and up and up. And the next time we show you that chart, it's going to look unbelievable. That's because Omicron is 5 times more contagious than previous versions of coronavirus. It's spreading like wildfire everywhere. So LA was down to almost no cases. Now it's at a peak of the worst it's ever been. Let alone the red states and it usually goes to the red states, the middle of the country, etc. A little bit later, but they're going to get hit with a tsunami of cases. Now the good news is, it's less lethal, and eventually what viruses do is they adapt, and it looks like that's what's happening here. Because if they kill the host, they kill themselves. So eventually they evolve to attach to your body and stay around for as long as possible. So that means they get weaker. They get more contagious, but weaker. So hopefully it will not lead to the hospitalizations and the deaths. But what I'm worried about, Nina, is that not so much that a giant wave of deaths is coming, but for the unvaccinated, they're just as vulnerable as they've ever been, right? For the vaccinated, it looks like Omicron is not going to be as problematic. Now, easy for me to say, but if you're older, immunocompromised, of course you're going to be worried about it. But what's going to actually happen is the hospitals are going to be absolutely overloaded. They're overloaded now, and it's going to get way worse.
Yeah, they are. And let us think about the domino effect. I talk to doctors all the time. One doctor in particular, Dr. Victoria Dooley, I had her on my podcast. And one of the things that she reminded us is that even if you need medical attention for something that is totally unrelated to COVID, you are impacted. If you have a heart attack, if somebody has a stroke, if you're going for your wellness checkups, you name it, anything within the within the ecosystem of the hospital and care will be impacted because they are overburdened dealing with COVID-19 cases. So it's not just this one thing, it's an entire domino effect. And Cenk, to add to your explanation about viruses, and thank God that the cron is less contagious, but this is the thing, the level of fatigue, the level of stress, the fear to even, you know, go to the hospital, the fear that you might lose your job, all of those things are exacerbating factors that make this pandemic extraordinarily harsh on people who are among the poor, the working poor, and the barely middle class. And that is one of the reasons why it makes so much sense. You see, Cenk, we're laying the breadcrumbs here. That's why it makes it even that much more important, or connecting the dots, let me say that, that we have policy that continues the child tax credit, that we have policies, that cancel student debt so that people will have more disposable income, that we have policies that say that in the United States of America, people will have paid family and medical leave, that we have policies that declare that we will pay people a living flipping wage. And Cenk, I could go on and on and on, but all of these things are connected. None of this is in isolation.
Yeah. All right, let me go to the members real quick because they have some amazing things to say. Chicago Ganai said, "Hi, I'm a registered nurse with COVID and I need the money from time and a half doubles. Any nurse, physician, or other medical professional who says this should lose their license immediately. Healthcare isn't a game or a business. We deal with people's lives." Now, that's true, but in America, it is a business. And every part of healthcare has been privatized. So once you turn it into a corporation, they will maximize profit and chew up and spit out any actual human being in their path. So just understand, under our current system, there's no one coming to help you. So that's why we gotta get the money out, we gotta get progressives in. All right, now let me go to Mickey C, the Silver Dragon. He says, "The CDC just happened to change the isolation period when Delta Airlines whined about losing money because of the 10-day isolation period. Immediately after, the CDC decided, independently of course, to change it to 5 days. Now, it was brazen the way they did it, and that's what he's mocking there, of course. And Biden, is Biden really the president? I mean, you know, Nina, we say, Joe Manchin's the president. But Manchin's not really the president either. The donors are the presidents.
Well, you make a strong point. Inquiring minds want to know. I guess we already got our answer, and we keep being reminded time and time again who really is the people who are really in control. It's the oligarchs.
Yep. All right. And last ones are from Twitch. Lunar Dragonfly says, "Hope you kick this cold soon, Nina." Chef Topher says, "Nina is strength beyond strength. Hello, somebody." You know, Nina, I've used strength on top of strength before, but I've never heard of strength beyond strength. So there
beyond
you go.
Strength.
That's a new
I'm
layer.
I'm receiving it. Yeah, it is.
This one goes to 11. So last one for you, Nina. Progressive Positive LMFT wrote in, "I have to thank TYT for introducing me to other black progressives. I felt like an alien before, not being totally hypnotized by the corporate Democrats. So glad to know I'm not alone. And thank God for Nina. She inspires me daily, and I'm now seriously considering running for office. Much love and happy 2022 to everyone."
Oh, beautiful. I hope you do run for office. And no, you are not alone. I can definitely testify to that. Having traveled all over this country, there are plenty of black progressives and other progressives of color in this country. So don't let the mainstream media and the talking heads and the corporate types fool you. Progressives, black progressives are out there. I often say we're the original progressives because it don't get no more progressive than fighting for the liberation of your very body and being. So
that's
keep pushing.
That's 100% right. Like in the book that might or might not come out at some point that I have just this coming book that coming a pre-order. No, seriously, it's almost done. Yeah. Anyway, in there I define progressives, and one of the things that I as core principles is the expansion of the circle of liberty, right? And there was no greater expansion than getting rid of slavery. And look, it's corporate media. If you got past corporate media, African Americans would be the single most progressive voting bloc in the country. And I'm not just wishing that, or I'm not just guessing that. That's based on the polling of the issues. So there's no question about that. We just have to get past the propaganda and the brainwashing that mainstream media does.
That's exactly right. Gene, now we can't leave. When you said the expansion of liberty, babe, you better talk that talk. That's it.
All right, I will continue to talk that talk. Guy, I love this show. I love doing it with you, Nina. Okay.
Not all right. You.
Let's go to the hero of the week. Wait, who do you got there?
Oh, man, the late but extraordinarily great Archbishop Desmond Tutu. As we know, the Archbishop, leader of South Africa, one of the leaders in South Africa, and he was right there fighting against apartheid in the 70s and the 80s, and he died on Sunday, unfortunately. And he was 90 years old, so he definitely lived a rich, long life, and he put so much effort into fighting for freedom for so many people, 1,000 lifetimes. Many people could not surpass what he had done. He was a Nobel Peace Laureate, a humanitarian, and certainly a radical. He spoke out against the occupation of Palestine, including supporting a boycott of Israel. He spoke out against the 2003 invasion of Iraq, climate change, and even vaccination apartheid, which we are still dealing with right to this very moment. And it's so shameful, Jink. I know that's another story for another time, but this world is really truly missing one of the brightest lights ever born, ever to walk the face of this earth.
Yeah, so it's a great selection, of course. And but Archbishop Desmond Tutu is not just the hero of the week. He's one of the top heroes of our lifetimes. You know, not only did he win the Nobel Peace Prize, not only did he help which critical part of taking down apartheid, which seemed impossible. I mean, how could black people in a country that systematically segregated and impoverished black people and gave them no power at all wind up getting power? It's just near impossible. And they did it. Mandela, Tutu, and the others, they did it. That's amazing. And then on top of that, he did the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, and Mandela named him the head of that. And Nina, if ever this country needs something, it's a Truth and Reconciliation Commission. Because we have lost our history, and they're now trying to systematically erase it in all these different states. Hey, stop teaching what actually happened in America. Stop teaching that racism exists and existed in history, etc., right? And I think that if we had something similar where we just all got it out of our system, we actually told everyone in hearings that everyone watched, just like they did in South Africa because of Tutu and Mandela, maybe it could be a cleansing. And it worked in South Africa. Wouldn't that be amazing?
Very much so. We definitely need truth and reconciliation. I mean, I talk about that often. The only way that we're going to ever be able to face the good, the bad, and the ugly, focusing on the bad and the ugly, is to really put it out there in the open in the way that they did in South Africa. And the Black Africaners in South Africa are far from, you know, having all of the freedom that they need. They're not totally treated as equals economically and socially, but they are a long way from where they were. And it was because of the courage to expose it that they will continue to fight for a type of justice that they deserve.
Yeah, and now I also don't want him whitewashed, right? Because that often happens with
Let's not do that.
Yeah, because that's what the mainstream media does whenever a black or progressive legend dies, right? So yeah. You've got some quotes here. Can I read some of them? Because I think they're so powerful.
Yeah, please. Yeah, let's share.
He said, if you are neutral in situations of injustice, you have chosen the side of the oppressor. If an elephant has its foot on the tail of a mouse and you say that you are neutral, the mouse will not appreciate your neutrality. Every one of these quotes, Nina, is a lesson for right now in this country. He said, "I'm not interested in picking up crumbs of compassion thrown from the table of someone who considers himself my master. I want the full menu of human rights." So of course, every one of these struck a chord, but that one in particular, Nina, because
looking for a new career? Welcome to Do HVAC Training Service Center in North Charleston. Enroll today in our comprehensive HVAC training hands-on field experience-based program covering troubleshooting, maintenance, installation, and more on various HVAC systems and ductwork. We offer EPA and NAEP preparation and testing, along with various certifications. Enjoy payment options. Take advantage of their November specials. Achieve certification in under 5 months. Enroll now for your new journey of skill development and career advancement. Log on to DEWHVACTrainingSC.com to inquire.
The right wing in all of these countries, including here, has this sense of such overwhelming entitlement that they have internalized that they really think like, well, we gave you crumbs and you're still not satisfied. Now you want complete equality. And they never think, hey, what if I was that guy? And I've got maybe a quarter rights or something, and I'm not even considered a full human being. What would I do? I mean, they're so lucky that Archbishop Tutu and Nelson Mandela chose the path of peace and not the opposite.
No, they really, really are. And there's a quote, and my God, I need to figure out who said this, but it was basically saying, you know, this country should be happy that black people want justice and not revenge. And it's so true for oppressed peoples across the world, but particularly in South Africa, to have two leaders like President Nelson Mandela, who once said it always seems impossible until it is done. I mean, just the greatness of these two men and their tenacity and their humanitarian. They were true humanitarians. They personified humanitarianism, because they were able to see the future and the fight towards that future, even though they themselves didn't necessarily enjoy it all, and especially President Nelson Mandela to have been imprisoned all that time and to come out and lead that nation to its next level of excellence is nothing short of miraculous. They both extraordinary human beings.
So I can't stop talking about Desmond Tutu. I gotta say the last couple of things here. So if you ever feel hopeless, and progressives have a good reason to in this country oftentimes, and that's why the phrase is the struggle continues. Nelson Mandela got out of prison in 1990, and then eventually, of course, ended apartheid and became the president of the country. He went into prison in 1963, and for 27 years, in that tiny little jail cell, he never lost hope.
Yeah.
Desmond Tutu was so poor, he used to sell oranges, and he would caddy for white golfers, but he never lost hope. And together, those guys, filled to the brim with hope and drive, made all the difference and expanded the circle of liberty.
Yeah, they did. Hope does spring eternal. You put some action, some sweat equity behind that, it's nothing that we cannot do. I'm so happy that you shared those stories, Gene. And we got one more quote from the bishop. May I?
Yep.
"I would not worship a God who is homophobic. And that is how deeply I feel about this. I would refuse to go to a homophobic heaven. No, I would say sorry. I mean, I would much rather go to the other place. I am as passionate about this campaign as I ever was about apartheid." Archbishop Desmond Tutu, you better go ahead and preach. I mean, Gene, we could do whole shows on just these three quotes, and I'm glad that we're taking a lot of time. I knew that we would take a lot of time with the Archbishop. He definitely deserves it.
Yeah, fight for someone you don't know. The Archbishop was married for 66 years. I mean, there's no end to his miracles.
Hello, somebody.
Yeah, but it wasn't enough to liberate a country and to liberate a race within that country. He said, no, now I'm gonna go and fight for the LGBTQ community because they need the same love, compassion, hope, and rights that we have. It's impossible not to love that if you're a decent person. All right, much love. We're out of time and we're out of year. So happy New Year's, everybody. We're off tomorrow.
Happy New Year.
Yep, and we're looking forward to a new year. And Nina, you never know what 2022 can bring.
We never know. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. All right, guys, much love. We'll see you next year.